Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be, I guess. All right. All right.
Mano y mano, let's do this. Let's tell these people about Apple News. Hello, and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Walt Mossberg.
Oh, hey, Walt.
April Fools. And I'm Irfan Elijah. You guys probably knew that. I'm here with Bluster Heine. Yet again. Oh, hey, Buster.
What's up, man?
And it's Mano y Mano, this show. It's two of the greatest Apple minds duking it out.
Yeah, you know.
So you guys.
We don't need Alex.
E, Excelsior, Heath, and. I feel a little like a dunce because I tweeted out Leander was going to be on, Leander Caney,
and then he bails
hours before the show. He bails, so he had an emergency come up though. I'm not sure if he told you about this. He injured his gluteus maximus.
Oh, how yeah. do you do that?
Apparently, it was a repetition strain. Like he's just been sitting on it so much lately that it just injured itself.
Oh, geez. I mean, he's got that book coming out.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
I know he's been hard at not working at that.
Yeah, he's been hard at not working at that, and hard at not working at other things. And I didn't even know if you sit on your behind for too long and just do nothing that you can injure it. So apparently.
You can get skin sores at least.
Yeah, that might be. He didn't go into great detail, but that might have been what happened. So he can't join us. He had to cancel last minute. But we have a good show, and you know we don't need them. I've always felt personally that we're the two best parts of this show.
I mean, we anchor it. Let's be honest.
We are the anchors.
We're the brains.
We're the brains and the looks of this operation. and the wits. So this will be good. I do want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show yet again. Have you not heard of Squarespace? You should have. You should have by now. You should be. You should hang your head in
shame.
Have
they sponsored the show?
Yes.
Before?
Yes, they have. Many times. Maybe not the episodes that you've been on, although I don't think you've ever missed. Actually, no, a couple times.
I've missed a few.
Yeah, but I think
kind of blank things out from my memory.
Yeah. Drinking too much will do that. But if you've never heard of Squarespace, if you need a website, you have got to check out Squarespace. I was a fan of theirs before they ever even started sponsoring the CallCast because they make building a website about as easy as it gets. You can go on to squarespace.com/CallCast, sign up for a free account. All they need is your email address, password, and in mere moments, you will be dragging and dropping elements to build a web page. You can build a blog, an online store now. That's a new thing that they're doing. And photo galleries, if you're a photographer, their website photo galleries are really, really great. So go check them out, squarespace.com/cultcast. I'll tell you a little bit more about them during our break and also how to save 10% off your order if you decide to order their service. But you really can't do better than Squarespace. So I want to thank them for sponsoring. You know, Buster, I want to start with just a few CultCast shout-outs. We haven't done these in a while. We're only going to do three because that's all we have time for. But I have a really good one. And, if you want to get a CultCast shout on Twitter, you know, I always say at the end of the show, you should be following us on Twitter. This is how you do it. Follow either Buster or myself. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And tweet at either of us with hashtag CultCast shout. You got to make sure you include that because that's how we find you. And I want to congratulate our three they're not really winners.
You get the shout out. What they do to deserve this?
You know, witty banter usually will win it. But sometimes if you're just first, or sometimes, honestly, if you're last, I just see the ones
or
that are last.
Whatever you're paying attention
sometimes
to.
You'll just get lucky. You'll be in the middle. So I want to give one out to CJ Gonzalez III because he said, please. That's nice. He said, please, you get one. But Stephen Beercock... Stephen Beercock, that's his actual name. I must get a shout, Erfan, for my surname alone. It's real, I promise. Google me. I will Google you, Stephen Beercock.
What's his last name?
Beercock.
Beercock?
Stephen Beercock.
Is he famous?
I hope so. I hope he is famous. Right, the guy's name is Stephen Beercock.
Dude, I...
You know, if his name actually isn't Stephen Beercock, he needs to change his name to Stephen Beercock.
Oh, wait. I got a Facebook profile right here.
That is among the best names ever.
I hope this is him.
He said to Google him. It's probably him. Maybe he's famous somewhere.
He's an older gentleman.
Is he?
I mean, he looks dashing, though.
For those of you... Okay, yeah. I can't tell. His Twitter profile pic, he's wearing a helmet and like skiing goggles, so I can't tell what he looks like. So there you go, Stephen Beercock. I had some lulls and I read that for the first time. And I also want to give a shout out to Jamin Harrison. He says, Airfun, how about some love? I made it a point to add both your podcasts to every Apple device I mess with at a store. He's of course talking about the Cultcast and also my other podcast, User Friendly, which is also on iTunes, and it's a video podcast, by the way. You know, if you're at the Apple store, I want to encourage you to go to every single device in there and download the Cultcast.
And change the screensavers.
And change the screensavers to the Cultcast logo. Because here's my logic. You're going to be doing everyone a favor. It's the best 30-minute Apple conversation they're going to hear all week long. So they see this Cultcast and they're like, hey, what's this? They listen to a little bit of it and they're like, whoa, I'm going to learn about Apple news and reviews and how-tos. Somebody in the world just helped me.
Yeah. No, it's I think everybody should. It's a good idea.
And I know we've had listeners do that before. So I want to thank you if you've done that, because I love getting those tweets about people who have gone through the entire Apple store and done that.
If you send a picture to us, we might even retweet it. I can't guarantee it, but probably.
It's not hard to get me to retweet stuff. Buster's a little bit, he plays a little harder to get.
You got to wine and dine me to get a retweet, or yeah. Just say something funny.
You got to say something really flattering. Really flattering to Buster and his beard. Hey, let's start with this, Buster.
Okay.
So I was watching the news before we jumped onto the mics here. And my local news station was talking about the Apple TV, the Apple television, I should say.
What did they call it?
Apple TV? Well, they actually just had the Apple logo, and I missed the first part of it because I was, you know, just getting home. But I caught the last part, and they were talking about the Apple TV, and I was like, surely I did not miss Apple television news today. And you were telling me that there was some... analyst that made a prediction this morning, and normally I'm not really all that excited to talk about analyst expectations or predictions because usually they're just ridiculous. But what did this analyst say?
Okay, this one's from Brian White at Topeka Capital Markets.
Wow, you even like know his name and where he works.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I believe in publicly shaming these guys when they say something stupid. And Brian White said a lot of stupid things this morning. He said that Apple's working on the TV, which, you know, maybe they are. Maybe they're
breaking.
Are.
Yeah.
And he also said that it's going to come in the second half of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy thing that he said was it's going to be controlled by a ring. Like, you're not going to have a remote control for it. You're going to have a little eye ring
that you wear that you put on your
finger and you wave it in front of the TV so that it acts as a pointer, because I guess Apple can't like put a Kinect inside of the Apple TV. You have to have a ring to like sense everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a 60-inch display, you know.
Well, I hope that last part's right.
I think he said 60, 50, and 55-inch screen-inch options might come out too. But the iRing is just like the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life from an analyst.
So wait a second. Are you telling me that, you know, if someone buys this Apple television, they're going to have to get a ring? So let's say... Cultcast listener Stephen Beercock gets an Apple television. He's gonna have to put on his Stephen Beercock ring.
Yeah, he's gonna have to put that Beercock ring. It might be a tight fit. Hopefully, it will be. And it's gonna have to stay on there all day. That's the thing, dude.
Well, here's my question. You know, different appendages are different sizes. You know, Stephen Beercock's ring is going to be a different size than my ring. So let's say you buy an Apple television and you know, that ring doesn't fit Stephen Bierkoc, but it fits maybe his cousin or something. So you're going to have to buy different rings for people to be able to control the television, or you're going to have to go to the Apple store and get
it resized.
Get it sized.
I got to take my ring in. Hold on. I want like, you to be able to control my TV too.
That was the first thing I thought of when I heard this rumor. I was like, well, this is like, if you think this through at all, it really doesn't make any sense at all. Because
no, it's crazy. and that's the thing is, I was like, man, I'm in the wrong profession. Topeka Capital should hire Buster Heine, and I will just freaking dominate their analyst, you know, forward thinking statement, whatever, you know.
It's so wrong that it makes me think, okay, they have got to be doing this just to get their like financial firm press.
Yeah.
Because how could you say something so asinine?
But that's the thing is, I think people have stopped really caring. I mean, we used to publish a lot of what analysts say.
Yeah.
Because they used to have better knowledge than we did on, you know, rumors and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's become so crazy lately. Like stuff like Peter Mizek has said, Gene Munster, and now Brian White. Like these guys, like they just say these like asinine things about Apple, and they're always wrong, and now they're finally getting called out on it. I think it's hurting their reputation.
Like, as it should.
And that's why, you know, if you're going to say something stupid like this, I think every blog should call you out and tell you that you're an idiot and keep your track record so people know that not to believe you.
Yeah, I think that's good. You did a post on Cult-O-Mac a while ago. with all the analysts, well, not all of them, but some of like the more popular ones, and then things that they've said that have gone horribly wrong. No, wait, was it multiple or just one?
It was just Peter Mizek.
Okay.
Let me double check what I said.
I thought it was really good though, because you went through and you're like, he said this on this date, he said this on this date. And right. You hear all these crazy rumors all the time. And I thought one of the fascinating things about that article was that a lot of these crazy things are coming from these analysts.
The analysts just like they just like throw things against the wall and like hope that idea actually happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know this is an Apple podcast. I mean, we keep up on the news and we have some inside knowledge of things that happen. But This is actually a great segue. We were you actually recently posted another piece on Cult-O-Mac talking about branch.com thread where people were talking about how Apple was going to be postponing
iOS 7,
and they're really like putting a lot of resources on it and actually taking people off other projects that they're working on just to finish iOS 7. And I was looking through this branch.com post. By the way, I've never used branch.com. This site is awesome.
No, it is great. Yeah.
I don't know how long they've been around.
For the Cult-Cast.
Yeah, totally. So totally an aside, branch.com is a place where you could post topics, and then people who sign up for accounts, usually with Twitter, actually, I think it might only be with Twitter, can just like sound off on what they think about that one topic. So in this branch thread, you've got a ton of really popular, for want of a better phrase, Apple analysts, Apple folks, Apple news folks, MG Siegler, Rene Ritchie, John Gruber, Johnny Gruber, as I call him.
Friend of the show.
good old Johnny. And then Mark Gurman. And you have all these guys piping off about all these things about Apple. It was really actually kind of fascinating. And then it was funny at the very end, somebody was like, why don't you guys just go to your own websites and write about this stuff instead of putting it in this thread? I was like, that's a great point. Why are you guys like just sitting here like arguing with each other?
Well, that's the conversation just started, MG Siegler from TechCrunch was asked like these guys, you know, Rene Ritchie, Gruber, Gurman, a couple other people, like when the next Apple event's going to be. And that's like it kind of snowballed into everybody talking about, well, I know this little piece of information and another person knows this small piece. And the whole conversation kind of snowballed into a pretty decent unveiling of kind of what's going on with iOS 7 and the iPad and iPad mini and OS X 10.9. So I don't know. Branch can, it can give you some pretty cool conversations. Like M.G. Siegler said, the conversation kind of helped everybody triangulate what's happening.
Exactly. And that's, and I think that was exactly what that, what this thread did. But I thought it was really interesting because you have all these guys who are really immersed in the Apple world. Guys like John Gruber have gotten, you know, up close and personal access to Apple products before they were even ever released.
Yeah.
And all these, not even these guys know what's going on. You know, yeah. And these guys are super, super immersed, as are we, in all these Apple rumors and all this Apple news. But you just never can tell what Apple's going to do. I mean, even things that you hear might happen. Sometimes, at least when Steve Jobs was alive, you know, there would be a rumor about a new product. And then, you know, last minute, it might get pulled or it might get postponed because it just wasn't ready. And so even when things are true, they end up not happening on the timeline that maybe they're predicted to happen. So
right, kind of. Well, with the ITV, we were actually talking about that today. Like, Apple's probably definitely has one in their R&D, but I don't know if they'll actually ever release it. That's what me and Charlie were, and John were debating today.
I think that happens with a lot of Apple products too. You know, they have a huge R&D team, and they're trying to innovate and create new products. So they probably have a ton of products that never see the light of day, but they're obviously working on them, and people who are at Apple might be out in the world carrying them, and rumors start to spread about these products, which may or may not be intended for release, you know, at any certain point in time. Apple might just think they're onto something, and they may just be following, you know, some type of technology lead to build a product or implement technology into a product they already have. So it's just really interesting. You know, I just thought this thread was really fascinating because, to me, I thought, if this group of guys don't know what the hell is going on, nobody knows what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I imagine that John Gruber wakes up every morning with a you know, a phone call from Katie Cotton, Apple's PR lady, and she's just like, well, today we're doing this and this and this. But that's, you know, because, I mean, it seems like he gets briefed by Apple PR every day. But that's not the truth, you know.
So yeah.
Everybody has a hard time placing what Apple's trying to do right now.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I feel like Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal also must get those kinds of briefs because they're pretty on point too.
I think him and Tim Cook have Sunday brunch every 2 weeks. You know.
Oh, I would want to go that so bad. Maybe I could maybe I could get a job as like a server or a butler or something.
Oh yeah, nice idea.
That'd be so. Yeah, that's the gig I want. I want to be Tim Cook's butler, his driver.
I just want to be a professional tech espionage guy. I think that would be pretty fun. Yeah.
Y'all aren't gonna steal my secrets, right? No way, Tim. Only your turkey from your fridge.
You know, from that branch conversation, one thing that Gruber said that I thought was really interesting was he said that there's a couple engineers at Apple that have the access to carry iOS 7 on their own devices and everything.
Yes.
Except to keep everybody else at Apple from knowing about like the new UI changes and everything else, they have these cases that have like a filter on top of them. So
like
that
a privacy
you can't,
screen? Like,
yeah, so other people can't look at their phones and see like the new UI changes. So I'm like, man, I wonder if it's like some crazy stuff or is it just like a few little changes?
Crazy iOS stuff. Okay, you know what? Hey, we need to take a quick break, but I want to talk more about this when we get back because there were so many juicy bits in this thread that we could talk about. So why don't we do that? I want to tell everyone about Squarespace real fast, and we'll come right back with more on this conversation. Hey, Buster.
What's up?
You know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy, but...
I know.
Yeah, I don't like to get in fights and stuff, but when I hear people haven't tried Squarespace, it actually makes me angry.
Like, what do you want to do to them?
Well, probably break off one of their fingers. Is that an inappropriate emotion? Well, let me explain why. Because I just like Squarespace so much. So, for those of you out there who need a website, if you haven't tried Squarespace, you need to. Because you don't want to make me angry and lose a finger. Both those things are bad. Squarespace is the beautiful and intuitive website platform that allows anyone to create professional web pages, blogs, online stores, galleries, all on a single platform. It's super easy, intuitive drag and drop functionality. Let me tell you how it works. You start with one of their award-winning templates. You add images and content. You just drag and drop everything. Bing, bong, boom. And then you connect your social platforms. Boom. Website's up and running, Buster.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of websites can you build, though?
You can build really beautiful galleries for photographers. They just added a whole new e-commerce section, so you can literally tack on a really powerful e-commerce store and begin selling things immediately. You can sell anything on their e-commerce store, too. Beard oil, in case you want to moisturize your beard.
I need it.
Yeah, I know. I know that you use that product, so that's why I use that specific example. So I want to urge people to try Squarespace, because it really is amazing. I mean, you build a website, you drag and drop everything, your website's up and running, and then Squarespace is going to make multiple copies of all your images. They're going to do some magic behind the scenes, and your website's going to look great on any device that visits. Everything is so simple with Squarespace, and it's all with great customer service. Everything's hosted in the cloud. Do yourself a favor. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for a free account. They don't even want your credit card information. They just want an email and a password. You'll be up and running in no time building your website. And then if you decide that you like it, you can purchase a month of service, a whole year of service. But if you use the code CULTCAST4, you're going to save 10% off your first time purchase on all new accounts. And that's on either a month of service, a whole year of service. Just use the code CULTCAST and the number 4. So give it a shot. Squarespace. Everything you need to create exceptional websites. And I want to thank them for sponsoring the CULTCAST yet again. And it helps us bring you wonderful conversations like the one you're hearing today between me and Bluester.
That was a beautiful conversation that we just had, right?
Well, speaking of that beautiful conversation, let's get back into it, shall we? Because we were talking about how John Gruber was saying that these developers had to carry these special cases so that when people would look at the iPhones from multiple directions, unless they're right in front of it, you know, you can't see the screen. So those are called privacy screens. They use them at banks, right, all the time. And I thought also one of the interesting things about this thread was that people were talking about how Johnny Ive has had his hands all over iOS 7. And I got to thinking, you know, we saw the recent update to the podcast app, which it seemed like everyone really liked it. And they got rid of the skeuomorphism, right? So now it's just a plain app. The UI looks really good. I really like it a lot. What were you going to say, Buster?
You're sad that the reels aren't there anymore.
I was a little sad about that. Yeah, I was. But I think that it looked good even without them. But the kind of consensus was that there could be some very drastic redesigns that have happened and that Johnny Ive has really had his hands all over this project and pulling out a lot of the garbage. And I use that word. It's not my word, but stuff that people thought didn't belong in iOS, like the skeuomorphism and the rich textures, that kind of thing. And he's going to make the UI much more simple. Hence the privacy screens, because they don't want people, you know, seeing what they're working on. So it got me to use a word I've used in the past. I don't use all that often. Titillated.
It got me seriously excited about
it. Me too.
Because I think it sounds like it could be some pretty big changes. I think you'll have like a lot more flat surfaces, you know, just some cleaner, more minimalist UI. I don't think it'll be anything crazy, but probably something similar to like the podcast app, where a lot of like the crap is just stripped away and it's, you know, more like the bare essentials that you need.
Well, you know, somebody was saying in that thread, I forget who it was. It might have been Renee Ritchie. And I thought it was a really good point. He said that, and being a developer in a previous life, I think this has a lot of truth to it, that they probably already programmed a lot of the API stuff. So like all the actual program functionality had already been planned for a long time. And that stuff probably wasn't going to change. And normally the way that kind of works is they'll plan a bunch of features and then they fit as many as they can into one version of the software. So, you know, everything that they could fit into iOS 6, they fit in. And the things that they couldn't fit in, those things get moved to iOS 7. And that's called the roadmap, right? So they keep chunking away at these functionalities as they go. So those things are probably planned out. let's hope we're going to see some drastic features. But
no, yeah,
drastic new features, I should say. But the UI is where things could get really crazy. Like, I mean, Johnny Ive has been brought on to really simplify all the software and unify it, right? Make everything look similar.
Yeah, you know, I think it makes to make iOS feel more modern, like a modern operating system. It's been pretty much the same since it's came out. You know, I mean, you're still using app icons. It's had like the same skeuomorphic stuff like that people have complained about for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think as far as UI, you'll have a lot of big changes. And then, yeah, like you said, the features have already been there. It's just a matter of like mapping out the UI for them the way Johnny wants it.
And now you wrote a piece on Cult Mac. iOS 7 is running behind as Apple pulls engineers off of OS X 10.9. Do you know when we can expect iOS 7? It's probably going to be at WDC, right?
WWDC. Right, yeah. Well, so you would expect iOS 7 and OS X 10.9, maybe OS X 10.9 to have a preview before. Because Apple said they're going to release a new version each year for both operating systems. So the expectation is that they will come out, and WWDC would probably be all about iOS 7 and all the big changes that they're making to it. Because I think that's, you know, going to get people more excited about the iPhone than, you know, updated specs for the internals on the iPhone 5S.
I agree, so, because the new iPhone is going to be the 5S. It's going to be an updated iPhone, right? It's not nearly as big of a deal as moving from iPhone 5 to iPhone 6.
Right.
And as you said, I'm not feeling bored with iOS. I know there are a lot of people out there who are, and they think that it needs to change a lot. I think it needs to change too. I wouldn't say that I'm bored with it. I still love it. I really love iOS. I really do. Especially anytime I use an Android device. It reminds me how much I love iOS, you know, especially because for whatever reason, have you noticed when you use an Android device, just the animations are never smooth?
Mm-hmm.
That always what's that?
And there's like the screen lag.
Yes, exactly.
And that's like, I think that bugs me the most on Android is there's that small, like, fraction of a second
me
where you touch
too.
The screen and it doesn't move. But on iOS, it does. Because they were built completely differently.
Yes, exactly. I forget which article I was reading. This was probably
John wrote one.
Was it John Brownlee?
A while ago. Yeah, and talking about how the problem is with iOS, Apple developed it so that once the screen gets touched, everything stops, like for the processing, and it
the phone
that
focuses first. on those animations, yeah. Right?
Right, and with Android, that doesn't happen. It's like a second, like it'll be like second or third in like the line of processing for it.
So
that's why iOS
is
always better that way.
Yeah, because from the earlier iPhones, right, which are way, way less powerful than the ones, or the Android devices that we're seeing now, they were buttery smooth. I mean, you never see that lag when you touch the phone.
No, you never have, and that's just because of the way iOS was built. And you've seen Android phone sets like try to like really beef up their processing power, while Apple's like not as, you know, it doesn't have as much processing power as some Android phones. But Android needs that because they're trying to make the UI look better to get rid of that touch problem.
Yes, exactly. And that lag, I know it might seem silly to some of you guys out there, like, oh, dude, it takes like a split second. But I notice it every time. I notice it. It bugs me too. It's one of the main things about Android I don't like. I'm like this phone is so powerful. Windows phone does it too?
Yeah, same thing. Both of them.
I haven't had hardly any experience with Windows Phone, just because the UI gives me gas. I can't stand it.
Oh, they also talk. There's a biometric sensor that they're talking about.
Yes.
Apple might be adding.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of information about it, though. Everybody's kind of speculating, like, what would the biometric sensor be used for? Like payments. So that could be something that is interesting for new hardware on the iPhone 5S, but no idea what it's going
to
do.
Do you think they would add that to the 5S? And they're obviously going to have to add some distinguishing features, right? They can't just make another iPhone 5 and,
right,
you know, just make the camera better.
I don't know. I mean, does a scanner, I don't know, does a biometric scanner make sense? Like Passbook hasn't taken off as well as Apple's wanted it to.
Right.
I feel like, oh yeah, it would tie in pretty well with Passbook because that's supposed to become your wallet. So biometric wallet as well. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it could happen, but that seems like Apple's rushing it because they just bought the company that makes the biometric scanners, Authentic,
yes.
You know, less than a year ago,
right.
Maybe a year ago. So I don't know. It would seem kind of crazy for it to be in there, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We were kind of anticipating also a press event in April for new iPads.
Yeah,
and we haven't heard anything yet. So the only way we know for sure is when those press invites go out, to which I'm sure they'll overnight one to both Buster and myself.
Dude, we get all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually. I just turn them down because I'm like, dude, I can't. I'm busy.
You actually reply?
Yeah, I reply.
Oh, okay, well that's nice of you.
I want to stay on Tim's good side. You know, yeah. I'm not as big as you.
I don't even bother replying. I'm just like, yeah, you guys know nice. I can't make it. I'm like, I never go. I'm like, I'm never even there. You always invite me, but I never go.
My seat, but,
yeah. Yeah. There's always one seat open in the front row. Have you guys noticed
that's
that?
Fair.
Maybe when you watch the keynotes, that's my seat. And, you know, I have things going on. I'm a busy guy. So, but you know, maybe you can go, you know, if you want to go in my place.
I'll see.
You have to shave your beard off though.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, see, that's why. So I won't even give you my invitation then, because if you're not willing to do that, they won't let you in. Hey, I also heard, and this is kind of cool, I also heard that AT&T, as long as we're talking about Apple news, that AT&T is going to be implementing their HD band this year.
Yeah. Okay, do you care about this?
I do care about this, yes.
I just felt like, you know, who really cares? I feel like my call quality is always going to be pretty crappy anyway, you know?
Well, I wasn't really all that excited about this. So actually, we should probably explain. For those of you who have iPhone 5s, your iPhone supports HD voice. So basically, the carriers use an expanded spectrum to improve the call quality on your phone. And the problem is that no carriers, at least in the US, I don't know about Europe, support it. So AT&T...
they do.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
AT&T is going to start implementing it this year, which I didn't really care about, but then I was reading that it actually makes a significant difference in voice quality.
Oh, really?
And okay. For the two phone calls I make every month... That could turn out to be really important. I was like, you know, I actually don't even talk to anyone on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you live in the same city as your parents, you never have to make that phone call to your parents. And I mean, the only time I ever call somebody is if like I'm like in a hurry and I need them to answer a text really quick and they still haven't. So I'll call them up for a 5-second conversation.
Me too, exactly. And then you're like, I have to go. I'll text you.
All right. See you in a bit. Bye.
I mean, even when I have to call people, I usually use Skype, like when you and I need to talk.
I'll be like, or like when we're in San Francisco and I'm like, Airfon, I need to use the bathroom. Come unlock it for me.
I remember that call. Yeah, exactly. Then you need to talk on the phone. I'll be excited to get that phone call in HD next time.
It's going
to
be beautiful when you get it. Okay? It's going to be gorgeous.
Hey, totally off topic. I do want to mention, for those of you who caught our episode with our gadgets editor, Charlie Sorrell, and I'll be honest, the only reason I'm telling you about this is because of the title.
Oh.
He's got gorilla arm now. And I didn't realize that was actually a real thing. So
yeah, no, you didn't think it was real?
No.
Haven't we talked about gorilla arm before?
No, I thought gorilla arm was like, you know, when you only work out part of your body and your arm gets really strong.
Oh, like one's huge and the other one's tiny?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought he meant. I was like, he said he got it from carrying around his iPad too much. I mean, maybe he needs to switch to the mini. He is a skinny guy.
He's got both now. That's the thing.
He does.
An iPad, Yeah, he bought an iPad mini at CES this year, and he already has a Retina iPad.
So Charlie Sorrell put out another article. He used to be iPad only. He used to spend all this time and effort just so that he could figure out how to only work on his iPad, and he didn't need a Mac. And he came on our show several episodes ago and explained how people could do this if they wanted to. And I've always been of the mindset that I love working on a Mac. I don't want to work on an iPad. I think iPads are great for consuming media, but they're not great for creating media.
Yeah.
And so he's recently denounced that practice, and he just bought another Mac. So he bought a MacBook Air, and he's going back to that. But I thought he was going to be doing it because he couldn't be productive on his iPad. That's actually not why he's doing it. So he's carrying this thing around. He's carrying his iPad and keyboard around so much that one of his arms has started to cramp.
Why are you saying it's because he's carrying it? Because he's using it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
This is actually really funny. Yes, that's exactly why.
So he's touching the screen all the time while it's sitting on like a desk.
Exactly. So the screen is sitting up flat, right? And he has to constantly lift his arm and touch the screen to interact with it when he's not typing, which is really funny because that reminds me of something Steve Jobs was talking about years ago. And people were wondering if they're going to come out with like these touchscreen computers, you know, that were against a wall and you can interact with them by touching. And he was like, we tried that, but the problem is
your arm's going to fall.
Your arm's going to fall off. Everyone's arms get really tired.
Yeah. And, you know, Charlie was hardcore about, you know, he's kind of like an activist about you can do work on an iPad. He would do everything for Cult of Mac on an iPad, and it was amazing. But I guess he kept having shoulder pain, and he talked to his, what is that, like masseuse or whatever, his massager, physical therapist.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you should probably give up working on your iPad. And so now he's, you know, switched back to a MacBook Air because his arm feels like it's going to fall off from touching the screen all day.
So there you go. Caution, if you decide that you want to work on an iPad only, you could get Gorilla Arm.
The thing is Charlie's skinny and he's pretty
super
weak,
skinny.
So
yeah.
I feel like, you know, maybe he should have gone to the gym first.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad point. Like if you go to the gym and you work out and your bod is pretty svelte like mine.
Yeah.
Then and yours.
Dude, I've been gymming so much.
Have you? So your delts are probably, right? Yeah, you could touch screen all day and probably be fine. And I probably could too, because like my shoulder muscles are just like boom,
huge.
Yeah, they're huge, and they're super defined. You know, so like for me, I would probably wear like a tank top, so that when I'm working on my iPad, people could see my shoulder muscles flexing up and down.
Nice,
dude.
While you're in that coffee shop, that hipster girl, she's just gonna be like, "Oh, damn."
Yeah, yeah.
Guy with the iPad.
Look at that guy's iPad arm. Things. Look at that thing. I can see all like the muscles moving around in it. Whoo. Mm-hmm. So, fellas, dating tip.
iPad.
Hey, let's wrap up with this, Buster. I wanted to put this first, but I forgot about it. Since I fooled everyone into thinking I was Walt Mossberg at the beginning of our episode, April Fool's just passed by, and arguably one of my favorite internet technology holidays. It just keeps getting better and better and better. Yes.
The thing was,
you hate it.
You know, I like a good April Fool's joke. I just feel like there are so many bad ones that it just detracts from the glory of the holiday.
There are a lot of bad ones. I agree. There are a lot of bad ones, but I have one. I have to admit, I get fooled every year. I always get April fooled. I always think I'm going to remember it, and then I don't. So, one of our Cultcast sponsors, Rode, who makes wonderful microphones, by the way. Buster and I are both using a Rode podcaster at this very moment. So they send me press releases, as do many companies, right? So they send me this press release about this new mic they're releasing called the i16. Did they send this to you?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
It went my trash.
Okay. So I'm like, the i16, what's this? So it's a surround sound microphone, and it looks like their recently released IXY iPhone mic. Mm-hmm. And except it's kind of formatted in a circle. So there's 16 mics that point outwards in a circle.
That's stupid.
Hold on. So and then it attaches to your iPhone. And it's like, they're like, it's the only portable surround sound microphone that you can buy on the market, right? And I was like, whoa, like, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the image looks perfect. I mean, it's flawless. So I click on their website, or on in the email, it takes me to their website, and they have a really good video of this guy describing it. They have like demonstrations on how it works. And I was sold. I was like, this thing's for real, you know, like this, that's crazy. And it was actually on the 31st, it was March 31st, because they're in Australia, yeah. Right? They're an Australian company. So if it would have been April 1st during the day, I might have caught on to the fact. So
it was a little bit early.
They sent it out early, right? Okay. So I email my contact at Rode, and as I'm typing the email to request a review unit,
I want one, man.
I was like, dude, this looks great. Send this to me. Literally, as I was typing the email, it occurs to me that it's April 1st in Australia, and this very well could be fake. So I totally erased what I wrote, and I still wasn't totally sure if it was fake or not, because on their website they had an order form. Like, you could pre-order this thing. Although I didn't click the button, maybe that's when the April Fool's thing pops up. So I emailed them and I was like, you know, I really think this looks cool. You know, I would love to review this for the site, you know, ... If you're not trying to make an April Fool out of me, you know, just to kind of cover my arse.
Yeah.
And then he emailed me back and he was like, oh, mate, I got you. And they're no longer our sponsor.
Dude, yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, like, I got another one. Do you know Spiro? They make this little robotic ball that you can control with your iPhone.
Yes. I covered that 2 CESs ago. Yeah.
They like sent me an email, yeah, and it's like, oh, like they like were releasing like Spiro Big Balls or something like that. It was just like their entire April Fool joke was centered around like enormous male genitalia.
The Spiro Big Balls.
Yeah, I was just like, man, see, like stuff like that, I'm just like, dude, that's so stupid.
Yeah, you know? It really does need to be original. Like the Google, I thought Google Blue Mail or Gmail Blue, that was actually, I mean, it was obvious that it was a you know, April Fool's joke, but at least it was funny. And then
I didn't
Nose
find
thing,
it funny either.
No, you didn't.
Do you know what one I did find that was funny that Google did once?
Huh.
I can't remember what they called it, but it was basically like internet installation kit where they send it to you and you flush it down the toilet to like get like super fast broadband and everything.
Did it work? Yeah, did you install it?
I tried. They wouldn't give me one.
I was like,
review unit, please.
Yeah, I'll take one of those. Yeah, awesome, dude. I think I noticed a difference. Yeah, my speed got faster.
That was my favorite one that Google did, but I kind of just ignore them now. So I didn't even pay attention to Gmail Blue and YouTube shutting down.
I know, you're kind of like
other ones.
I know, the big ones especially are kind of there. You always expect them. The best ones are the ones that you don't expect, right? And then they're actually creative, and those are the best ones. But hey, if you guys found a cool April Fool's joke or product, send it to me. Tweet it at me at Airfon. I want to hear about it. But Buster, that's all the time we have, dude.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, the battle of the minds has come to a conclusion.
Oh my gosh! I was pulling out all my material on that one. Sadly,
this might be the best show we've ever done.
Goodness.
I'm going to put that out there. I'm just going to put it out there. Do with that what you will. But
all right.
I'm pretty sure it might be. So I want to think. That. Yeah, I think you should take that, put it in your pipe, and smoke it. You still have your pipe, right? That pipe I gave you.
Okay. I got one from John.
For your glaucoma. Fantastic.
Yep.
All right, well, that's it. That's all the cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to talk more with us, you know where a great place to do that is? Buster?
Twitter. I'm all over Twitter.
Oh, dude, we're all over Twitter. Buster is BST3R. I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, for all the best news and reviews and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. And hey, you can also leave us topics, leave us questions and comments on our Facebook page. That's just facebook.com/thecultcast. And I think that's it. That's all we got for you this week. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. Hey, go check out squarespace.com/CultCast, and we'll see you guys next time. Booyah. Hold on, I gotta make sure my dog isn't eating something that she's not supposed to. Hold on. Dude, I have a sixth sense with my dog.
Oh, really?
Gosh, she was eating the top of the salt shaker.
Man.
Gosh. Yeah. And I got a text today. We got our new collar, and somebody came over to walk her, and then I got a text later on, Penny chewed off her collar.
Nice.
How do you even get that in your mouth? It was around your neck. So now that's gone too. She's a terror. I actually am reviewing a Plantronics Bluetooth headset. Uh-huh. She ate it. Before I finished the review.
Didn't get any pictures.
No, I didn't have any pictures or anything. So I had to email them and put my tail between my legs.
Uh-huh.
And be like, "Hey, I'm really sorry.
My dog ate
your product." Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I sent them pictures of it. I was like, I honestly have never had this happen before. This is crazy. Like, she grabbed it off my kitchen table and she ate it. You know, like, there's nothing left. There's like a few pieces of plastic and like some mangled metal.
Her review thought it was great, though.
They actually thought it was hilarious. They weren't even mad about it or anything. And they said this is not the first time this has happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so apparently dogs and people like Plantronics Bluetooth headsets.